Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Hockey Hut podcast. I'm Ari. I'm here with my boy AJ.
What's up?
And we're here to talk some hockey. So let's get right into things. Hockey's back. You excited or what?
Yeah, I'm excited. It's been like all taking up all my time lately, you know, with like the quarantine and everything. There's boring nights, and now all of a sudden I could turn on hockey, watch some great rivalries and matchups, some highlights. It's been tons of fun, you know. Leafs have played the most games in the league so far, so that's been a lot of entertainment.
Oh yeah, I've been bored out of my mind at school. I've had like nothing to do other than, you know, school, which I barely do anyways. And now I've got something to do. I get to watch hockey every night. Super fun. You know, my Flames are doing like, that's a great start for the Flames season. I'm really excited to see what they're going to do.
Yeah, it's been a really like eventful first couple days so far. Just first thing, you know, you love to see it. The biggest villain in the league, for me at least, the Boston Bruins have not scored a goal 5-on-5 yet, even strength. Absolutely love to see it. This team, I hate this team. And, you know, maybe finally it's time for their downfall.
Oh, yeah, that's a pretty big deal for them. You know, I bet they're missing Pasternak pretty badly right now. I personally don't have a huge hate for the Boston Bruins. I know why so many people do, especially here in Toronto. But also, you know, I got Brad Marchand on my fantasy team. I kind of need him to, you know, do better. He's kind of lacking right now.
Yeah. I mean, you know, someone who hasn't been like doing so well for my fantasy team, Evgeny Malkin, has been nowhere to be found for the Penguins, which is a little annoying, but like, you know, my team's good. I think I'll get it back.
Yeah, with Malkin, you said I've got Crosby on my team also, and you know, he hasn't really done much. The Penguins haven't been doing that much. Crosby had that really nice goal in the first game, you know, where he just like flipped it with the one-hander after Carter Hart gave it away. But after that, hasn't been doing anything exciting really.
Yeah, I mean, the Penguins, they lost both games to the Flyers. You know, the first one was 6-3, second one was 5-2. They're currently losing to the Capitals, you know, as we're recording this. It's not looking so good for the Penguins. What are your thoughts maybe on the Penguins this coming year?
You know, I didn't really have that many high expectations for the Penguins. They seem to be regressing a bit. But, you know, former Flame Mark Jankowski actually signed with the Penguins this season, and he actually got the first goal of the entire NHL season. He was the first person to score. And I talked to a lot of Flames fans, and the second that happened, everyone was like, of course, you know. And then, you know, the second person, the second player to get he didn't really get a goal for them, but he, you know, he made the shot. Erik Gustafsson on the Flyers that same game. He got two assists that game, and just like, you know, every Flames fan shaking their head. Why do we have to give up these guys? Brad Treving wouldn't re-sign them. It's a little frustrating, but you know.
I mean, it probably would have been nice, you know, for the Flames to have that kind of magic in their first game. From what I understand, the Flames don't really win a lot of season openers.
Yeah, this is actually the 11th straight season that the Flames have lost their season opener. The last time they won a season opener was in 2009, and I honestly don't even remember it that well.
Yeah. If I'm correct, it's the fourth longest streak in like major sports right now for opening game losses, which, you know, for over, like, I'm assuming it's the four leagues, you know, football, baseball, basketball, hockey. That's kind of impressive.
Four major sports.
It's kind of impressive that they're that bad. I don't know. Maybe the team just can't get over like the beginning of the season anxiety.
Yeah, I mean,
never really know.
This season, it wasn't too bad of a loss because like it was an overtime loss. We still got the point after it, so I wasn't that upset. And you know, because we won the next two games, you know, against Vancouver, super happy about that. Cause like the whole Vancouver, Calgary, the Calgary Canucks thing that's been going on. We got Markstrom. Markstrom got a shutout in his first game against Vancouver, and man, the boys were buzzing that game.
That must have felt good for him to, you know, have a comeback. He had a great season last year, but have a comeback against his team and shut them out, like kind of, you know, cement the screw you to the team, or, you know, just showing that, you know, this is my team now. And he's been playing fantastic for them. The Flames have been playing great hockey, except for, you know, that overtime loss. It was to the Jets, right?
Yep.
Yeah. The Jets, by the way, have not been buzzing. The boys have not been buzzing on the Winnipeg Jets, you know. A couple of tough losses. They just lost to my Leafs 3-1. I know Laine was out, but you know, if Laine was playing, they would have lost by more. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm not too sure if Laine would have been that big of a difference. You know, he's not insane. He's not like an all-star elite player, but he did score twice in the opener against the Flames.
Yeah, I mean, that was jokes, but realistically, you know, he's like, I think he's a pretty good player. I don't like him very much, and he's kind of balding, which isn't a great look for, what, like a 23 or 24-year-old?
Oh, yeah,
I wish him good luck with that, but...
That was so funny.
He could have changed the outcome of the game.
Yeah, I think in the opener, Hanifin sent Connor into the boards, and Patrick Laine was not happy with that, so he just went off on him, and I think in the fight that he tried to start, his helmet came off, and it's like straight up. It looked like he was almost bald. Like you could see him rocking a skullet. Like he's this close to rocking a skullet.
Yeah, it's a shame. You know, I mean, he doesn't really have like, you know, the other looks to support it. His beard and all that kind of stuff kind of looks like a mountain goat. You know, I definitely take Austin Matthews.
Oh, for but, sure. I think I can name maybe one guy that would take Patrick Laine over Austin Matthews.
I think I can name one guy also.
Yeah. But,
yeah, I mean, someone else, you know, he's been like really impressive this year, which is the opposite of Patrick Laine. Kirill Kaprizov on the Wild. You know, I picked him to be the Rookie of the Year this year. And he's playing like unbelievably. He had the overtime winner in the first game for the Wild. He's looking to be like a really promising player. There was a quote from the Chicklets podcast where they said he's the most exciting player the Wild have had since, you know, Mirian Gavrik back in the day.
Oh, geez, years ago. A while ago.
Yeah, he was really good, like perennial 40 goal scorer on that team for a few years. But I'm not sure, you know, Kaprizov could get there, but he seems to be like a really young talent for the team that could take the team, you know, he could take his game far this season.
Yeah, the Wild have been able to come back twice now against the Kings. That's been pretty exciting. Kaprizov's been great to start the season. Yeah, I'd say that was a pretty good pick by you. My pick was Stutzel again to win the Calder. His first goal was just such a beauty, that clapper out of the air. That was
great shot.
That was so nice.
Yeah, you know, I watched it. Obviously, it was against the Leafs, but it was a great shot. I can't complain. I love the player. You know, the Senators never really bothered me as much as, you know, the Habs or the Bruins. I guess just because they're not very good. Right. But yeah, he's definitely like a young player that I like. Excited to watch his career. Another interesting thing based like back on we talked about last episode, Jordan Binnington, you know, he had a convincing 4-1 win over the Avalanche. You think, you know, maybe, you know, the Blues are, you know, finally, not finally, you know, they won the cup a couple years ago, but they're going to prove people wrong again this year. People that said, you know, if they traded Pietrangelo, they're not going to be as good. He played fantastic. And then they get absolutely demolished 8-0 the next game by the Avalanche, which I guess kind of shows, you know, the Avalanche, not a team you take for granted. You beat them once, they come back harder the next night. Definitely be looking for them to be fantastic going forward, the Avalanche.
Yeah, that was a huge blowout by the Avs. You know, I guess you can't really, it's hard to beat a team twice when you're playing them twice in a row, right? It's like, They took that loss to heart, and they were just like, we're not taking it again. We're going to be scoring on you all night. That was a wild game.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of what the Leafs did to the Senators. You know, unfortunately, we lost the first game, which, you know, we shouldn't have lost because the Senators, but we came back the next game, played some solid hockey. Mitch Marner has been fantastic. Marner, Tavares, Matthews, Nylander, you know, they're going to carry the team. They've been really good, as well as, you know, Goudreau, Markstrom, some of the players on the Flames have been fantastic well for you.
You know, the Flames were somehow able to beat Vancouver both games. That second game, they were getting absolutely dominated in the first period, and I was afraid watching that game. And honestly, they were lucky to come out of that period only down 1-0. But listen, I have no idea what happened in the dressing room. I have no idea what happened in between that first and second period. But when they got back out on the ice, they took over. They were like, we're not having any more of this. And then, you know, Johnny Hockey opened the scoring for the Flames and they just took off.
Yeah, they never looked back.
Absolutely loved it.
Yeah, another team that's, you know, they're 1-2 right now. They've been playing well. The Buffalo Sabres, you know, kind of went into the season as kind of going into all the season that was, you know, perennial underdogs. The past couple of seasons, they've always had hot starts. They've always been the team, you know, 20 games of the season, the first place in the league. Everyone's like, oh, are the Sabres for real this year? And then they go on a 25-game losing streak and end up last again. But, you know, they just had a great 6-1 win over Philly, who's been fantastic so far. Eichel's looking great. They lost 2-1 to the Capitals the game before, but they outshot them 30-19. So they just couldn't really find the back of the net. But, you know, they've got some talent, and they're definitely a team that I could see, you know, maybe not necessarily making the playoffs, but potentially beating out some of the weaker teams in that division. You know, it's a tough division, but we'll see what they could do. You know, maybe against, we'll see, will they fare against, you know, teams like the Devils, Rangers.
Yeah. I know their newest addition, Taylor Hall, he's been definitely making a name for him in Buffalo right now. He got the first goal for the Buffalo Sabres this season. Mm-hmm. And people are definitely noticing him there.
Yeah, you love to see that. Like when a new player comes in, you know, some people have doubts. Some people are like, oh, he's going to be great. And he just silences everyone at the beginning. You know, it's going to be like a good road for them going in. Another team that's looked, you know, really, really strong going forward. And, you know, I said last episode, I wasn't high on them. I didn't like the way their roster looked. And I have to apologize. But the Habs, the Montreal Canadiens, have looked fantastic. In the first game, you know, they took us to overtime. Honestly, we didn't play great. There's a good chance they should have won the game, but they've been fantastic since then. You know, Nick Suzuki is the real deal. Josh Anderson's been like a fantastic power forward addition to the team. You know, Romanov, I think he had his first goal the other night. Everyone's been looking really great. And, you know, Carey Price, you know, he's going to be Carey Price. So that team, I feel, you know, they could definitely make a splash in a somewhat weaker division. You know, they'll get lots of wins against some of the lower Canadian teams, but I think they're right up there with Calgary and Toronto.
Yeah, they've been looking real good so far. They've definitely been looking like a playoff team right now. I know I had them making the playoffs as the fourth seed in the North Division, but honestly, they could take one of the top two spots even like that. They've been looking really good. Carey Price has been stellar so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I've really liked his play. And now that they've got Jake Allen, he's been so good. He was great that one game against the Oilers. And I think they could do some serious damage with that team.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, on the flip side, it's kind of crazy that 3 games in, the Chicago Blackhawks have a goal differential of minus 10.
Yeah.
That team.
Pretty sad.
That team is they're just not a very good team. You know, I think they've got some talented offensive pieces I mentioned before. Kane, DeBrincat, Kubalik. Taves is injured, obviously. But that team doesn't have a goalie. That team has got no one to stop the puck. They can't break up plays, and they're just going to get punished over and over again, because they can't stop anyone.
Of course, like, I know Malcolm Subban has had to make some insane saves so far. You know, he had that one, the stick save against Tampa Bay, but like, when you have a defense like that and you have like and you don't even have like a starting goalie to help them, like Subban's gonna have to make insane saves like that every night if they want to contend at least for a win. But man, I've been saying it from the beginning, I have the Chicago Blackhawks coming in last in the entire league this year because they just can't hold it right now.
Yeah, it's definitely valid. But, you know, with the way some teams like the Oilers are playing, you never know. Unbelievable how you have a team with such a polarizing talent. You know, you've got Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, two of the absolute top players in the world. You know when they're on the ice, something's going to happen. And as you see it, McDavid scored at a crazy pace so far. But this team can't play defense. They can't win a game.
I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving it. You know, I love seeing Edmonton lose. Yeah, McDavid, he was held off the score sheet again last game, I think. Yeah, that's great. I really think their defense just took a huge hit when Oscar Klefbom was out for the season. And they just haven't been able to make the right pairings for defense. They need a lot of help right now if they're going to get anywhere.
Yeah, just looking at the roster, it doesn't really look like they have anyone on the defensive end to compensate. You know, like they just got the addition of Tyson Barrie, but as a Leafs fan, you know best that Tyson Barrie doesn't really do much on the defensive side of the puck. So, you know, you can score all you want. If you can't stop other people from scoring, you know, you're not going to win that many games, especially when you're going up against other teams like Toronto, Calgary, teams that could score on you. If you're not playing defense, they're going to score on you at will.
You know, looking at the last two games that Edmonton played, it seems like they can't score all they want. You know, what, they had one goal in each game. Like, that's not Edmonton.
Mm-hmm, absolutely, yeah. It's just the concept. You know, Toronto for a while bought into the all offense, no defense act. And I feel like, you know, finally the franchise realized, you know, it's not really how you win a cup. But Edmonton, you know,
So they had to, you know, steal TJ Brody from the Flames.
Yeah, they did. He's been good so far. Let's keep that up. But the Oilers, you know, you're right. They can't score unless, you know, they have McDavid or Draisaitl, who have been held off the scoreboard. You know, when teams kind of like figure out, you know, there's no way to stop McDavid. There isn't. But if you let McDavid go out on the ice and you just play solid defense on him, he's not going to score every single shift. But you know that the second he gets off the ice, you're going to have the puck the entire time. Like, teams aren't worried going up against a team like the Oilers because one player, hockey isn't the kind of sport where one player wins a game for you. It applies in other sports. Hockey's not that kind of sport. It's a team sport.
Hockey is definitely a team sport.
So, you know, when you don't really have a team behind you, one or two players, they're not going to win you much. No matter how talented they are. And that's just, I think, kind of what plagues the Oilers going forward. And they either got to make some serious defensive adjustments, maybe some personnel changes in the head office. I don't know what they got to do, but, you know, they squandered all those first overall and first round picks, and they don't really have much to show for it.
The last two teams I really wanted to cover, you know, the Rangers and the Islanders, they traded shutouts their first two games. You know, everyone thought the Rangers were going to be way better than the Islanders this year. And that first game, you know, the Islanders won 4-0. That was pretty big. And then the second game, you know, Ilya Sorokin had to make an emergency debut because Varlamov got injured in the warm-up, I think.
Yeah, yeah, it was a warm-up. He took a shot to the throat. Hope he's all right, but you know,
it seemed like he's fine now because their next game, you know, he just came back and, you know, just got another casual shutout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So something else that's interesting to mention, the Rangers had 8 power plays that game against the Islanders in the 5-0 game. That's not something, you know, a team could afford to give up. You can't take 8 penalties in a game, especially in a game where you have, you know, your rookie backup goalie playing. You know, they kind of left him out to dry. And, you know, I feel bad. It's not, you know, you never want to start your career in a 5-0 shutout loss. Even as a goalie, you can't score. It doesn't feel good to have that zero. And, you know, I mean, the Rangers stepped up. Bushnevich and Panarin both had great games. Kako scored, which is good to see from a young guy. But you can't win a game. They're very lucky that, you know, the Rangers didn't capitalize and they went 1-for-8 on the power play. But they outshot them. They outshot them by 10, sorry, 9. And you can't win a game if you're just willing to let yourself be shorthanded like that. It's not a recipe for success in the NHL.
Definitely, yeah. The Islanders, like, Varlamov has been going off. You know, he hasn't let in a goal yet this season, and that's really bothering me because in fantasy I'm playing against a team who has Varlamov, and I need something good to go for my team because I am losing badly right now. I know it's only been what, like 4 or 5 days, but like still, if my team doesn't pick up soon, like I'm trading away most of my players.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you don't want to make an early overreaction, but you know, this week's interesting because it's like it's kind of a double week, right? So don't put too much stock into what happens this week. I'm losing big. I accidentally benched Bennington on a win. Rookie move by me. Forgot to set for goalies. But
last night I benched Bjorkstrand and Sam Reinhardt to combine for 3 goals and an assist and 11 shots on goal. And I really needed that.
Mm-hmm.
It probably would have changed like everything about my week.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, like just going back to the Islanders for a second, you know, like I like the Islanders team. I like their system. And I think they've got, you know, a lot of players involved that fit their system the way they like playing. I honestly think that team could make a lot of noise in their division, but you know, we'll see what happens going forward. You know, if hopefully their goalie is okay, and hopefully they can resolve the penalty issue, because if they're taking 6, 7, 8, 9, you know, even more penalties a game, no matter how talented they are, no matter how good the coach is, they're not going to win games like that. You know, I love Matt Barzal, fantastic player.
Oh yeah.
They, you know, they have Sebastian Aho, the bad Sebastian Aho. Well, I wouldn't say bad, but you know, not the Sebastian Aho. You know, they've got like great defensive defensemen, Adam Pellick, Ryan Pulock, etc. I think, you know, they're a kind of team that forces you to play their brand of hockey. It's hard to speed up the game against them.
Barry Trotz makes some great matchups with really good coaching there.
That's, you know, definitely the outlook on the standings for the beginning of the season.
And I know, like, the Islanders are in a tough division and everything, and a lot of people were like, oh, the Rangers are obviously going to be the better New York team and everything, but I think people are forgetting that these guys made the conference finals last year. Like, they haven't lost enough to have such a big drop-off. Like, they could still be a good playoff team this year.
Yeah, the year before that, I remember they made some noise in the playoffs as well. If I remember correctly, they swept the Penguins in the first round as, if I remember correctly, heavy underdogs. I had them going to the conference finals last year. I don't remember if they made the conference finals that year or if they got out in the second round. But yeah, they're definitely a team that has the upset potential.
They got swept by the Hurricanes that year in the second round.
Right, and the Hurricanes got knocked out by the Bruins.
They got swept by the Bruins, yeah.
And then, yeah, the Blues took out the Bruins, which made me very happy. Don't like the Bruins.
I can see.
Welcome back to the Hockey Hub podcast. I was thinking about, you know, why I think we each ranked our top 5 centers in the league right now. I was curious. I don't know Ari's list. I was curious if we could compare, you know, see what we think. I don't think there should be too much controversy, but from the 3 to 5 spot, you know, there might be a couple of differences. What do you have?
Well, AJ, so number one, obviously, I feel like we have to have the same number one. I've got like the man himself, Connor McDavid.
Mm-hmm.
There's really, you're not getting anyone better than Connor McDavid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So funny enough, I actually have a Sean Monahan as my number one pick as a center.
No way. My guy, Sean Monahan.
Sean Monahan, he's been a staple for the Flames so far on their, I believe it's their third line.
Yeah, he's playing on their third line right now, and
this third line center and Sean Monahan, I believe he is a better hockey player than my number one choice, Connor McDavid. Yes, Connor McDavid. Okay, who do you have as number two?
My number two choice, probably Nathan MacKinnon.
Mm-hmm, I would agree. I think MacKinnon's the second best player in the league, as well as the second best center in the league.
Yeah, I know, like in the playoffs last year, everyone was like still everyone started debating again, like, oh, is McKinnon better than McDavid? And yeah, he's probably not better than McDavid. He's like, don't get me wrong, he's insane. He's fantastic. But like, I remember what, like 2 or 3 years ago when they were like just comparing him to like Johnny Gaudreau because they were still like at the same pace before that. But then, you know, last year, one of them elevated their game and one of them didn't.
Yeah, I mean, Gaudreau didn't have, the best of years last year, but
But I'm telling
here's
you, he's
where
coming back. Gaudreau's coming back for a revenge tour this season.
he might, fully could, very talented player. But coming in at number three here, I think we might have a small argument. I have Auston Matthews as the third best center in the
Okay.
league. What did you have?
Okay, Auston Matthews is a good pick. I personally put Sidney Crosby over him because I still think that Crosby's game is elite. I know he's not on like a top team anymore, but his game alone out there, his hockey IQ is just above everyone else's. And like, man, he's just such a good leader on the ice also. I put him above Auston Matthews.
Yeah, I understand the feeling. And honestly, up until, even last year, I kind of thought Crosby was still maybe a cut above McDavid, maybe equal level. But, I really think McDavid's a cut above. But, and Crosby, Crosby is still a top five center in the league, in my opinion. You'll see five or four, I'll tell you in a sec. But, Auston Matthews, that kid can score. I'm not a kid, he's older than me, but Auston Matthews can score like no one else in the league,
He's definitely a fantastic goal scorer right now, although he hasn't been doing much of it this season yet.
It's only been four games. Let the man break out. But he's got 4 points in four games. He has a goal.
Yeah, but remember, there's only 56 games, so kind of needed to break out a few days ago.
True enough. True enough. But he can score at a rate better than anyone else in the league, in my opinion. Fantastic defender. He wins faceoffs. His possession is crazy. If the man has the puck, you can't take him. You can't take the puck away from him. And he's the kind of player that whenever he's on the ice, he's going to keep it in the offensive zone. He's going to drive the play. He's going to break up plays by the other team. And I think at this point in their careers, I would rather, for one game, have Auston Matthews on my team than Sidney Crosby. But I do
That's
have Crosby
interesting.
at in my number four position, where I assume, you would have Matthews.
I also, yeah, I have Matthews at number four. But one thing I wanted to say before that was I still think that Alexander Ovechkin is a better goal scorer than Auston Matthews right now. And if I needed one player to score a goal for me right now, I would take Ovechkin. And I just think that he's still the best goal scorer.
If I needed one player to score a goal for me, I would say Connor McDavid. But at the same time, the way he gets his goals is very different from the way someone like Matthews or Ovechkin gets his goals, which leads me to say that someone like Matthews or Ovechkin could be a better pure goal scorer than McDavid. Because, McDavid could, you give him a tiny bit of open ice, he's going by anyone, he could score once he's by the net, et cetera.
Oh
But
yeah.
he doesn't have the same, kind of gravity where setting up at the circle for a shot like Ovechkin or Matthews coming down the wing, even if he's far, that wrist shot, he can pick the top corner on anyone. I don't think he has the same gravity as a goal scorer as opposed to a puck carrier, a puck handler, and a lot of other facets of the game. But when you're specifically talking about the shooting aspect of the scoring, I definitely think Matthews and Ovechkin would be a cut above of him. But the reason I would put Matthews over Ovechkin, I think now in their career, Matthews is a more versatile goal scorer than Ovechkin. Ovechkin's still one of the best of the best. He's going to go down in history as one of the best, if not the best goal scorer of all time. But it seems right now that a lot of his goals, they're not coming from these crazy powerful drives that he used to do or finesse goals. A lot of them, he's taking his shot, which is a fantastic shot. But right now, I see Matthews just being a little bit of a better goal scorer than him. In my fifth spot, I honestly couldn't decide between Jack Eichel or Braden Point. Not so similar players. Point's a little more, analytically favored, but fantastic offensive player, fantastic defensive player. on the best team in the league. And, you know, there aren't any holes in his game. He can play every brand of hockey. He can, you know, he's had some filthy goals, great defensive stats. And Eichel, you know, Eichel's a beast. One of the most offensively gifted players in the league, in my opinion. And I think he's definitely primed to make a reach into the superstardom level this coming season. But I'm interested to hear what you think.
With Jack Eichel, I think that if Connor McDavid wasn't in his draft year, like, Jack Eichel would have gone number one in any other year. He's fantastic. Braden Point, obviously, he was a steal by Tampa Bay. That was a nice late draft pick. I think those are both very good picks for your number five. But for me, this is a bit of a hot take. I'm a bit high on this guy, but I really love his play, especially last year. For me, at number five, I have none other than Mika Zibanejad. I love the guy. Like, he might be my favorite player outside of the Flames, him or Ovechkin. I love both of them. But man, Mika Zibanejad, like, he had the highest goals per game last season. You know, he missed like 20 games with an injury. But man, he was scoring at such a high pace. I remember I was watching that game where he had 5 goals in one game. I think we talked about it last episode, but man, I love him. I think he's a very good center.
Yeah, he's a good player. You know, I'm not sure if, you know, he has either the resume of some of these guys or just like the overall talent. You know, he can score up with the best fantastically, but I'm not sure, you know, if he drives the play as well as some others, but, you know, it's definitely a valid opinion to have. And with his goal scoring last season, you could absolutely make the argument.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's been playing on teams like, you know, he was on Ottawa and then he was on the Rangers. They weren't amazing teams that he's been on, but, you know, after getting a teammate like Panarin last year, like, his play's been going up, you know.
Yeah, this absolutely. Year,
haven't seen too much of him yet this year, but I'm telling you, he's gonna go off this year.
Mm-hmm. For sure, yeah. Just, I wanted to tell a little story. You mentioned how you like Ovechkin. So throwing it back a few years ago, when we went to watch Game 6, Leafs Capitals in the playoffs. We went to see it at Maple Leaf Square. You know, I was hoping that wouldn't be the elimination game, but, you know, things didn't go according to plan because Kuznetsov scored in overtime to kill my dreams and sink me back into that off-season depression as we frequent as Leafs fans. But so you showed up. You showed up to that game, standing out in the crowd in an Alex Ovechkin jersey.
Oh yeah,
which
was one of the
boldest moves I've seen, because, you know, anyone that's been to the square knows that there are some people there that, you know, you don't want to get on their nerves on a good day.
Oh, let me tell you. Yeah, I was ready. I was like, oh, we're going to Maple Leaf Square and we're going to watch Washington against Toronto. Of course, I have to wear my Alex Ovechkin jersey. I didn't really know what I was getting into because that was my first time going to watch a game there. But let me tell you, it was so fun to do that, man. I got so many looks from people, and there was this one. We were standing next to this one really drunk guy, and he was just like,
oh yeah.
Oh, he was going off on me. He was like, get out of here. Like you can't sit here. Like go away, or like, don't show your face here. And
some other stuff that we probably shouldn't say.
Yeah.
Aloud right now.
Yeah. But, that was super fun to watch, you know, going home after the Leafs got eliminated that night. I was feeling real happy. Because, you know, that my Flames were not in the playoffs anymore that year. I think they got – was this in 2016 or 17?
Honestly, don't remember. Right. Was it the year they got swept by the Ducks?
Yeah, it might have been. It might not have been. Either the Flames weren't in the playoffs that year or they got swept by the Ducks. Either way, I wasn't too happy with them. But watching the Leafs get out, man, that was so fun.
Yeah. I remember that guy that we were, the drunk guy who was, you know, screaming and kind of antagonizing. I remember it was his girlfriend that was there with him.
Yeah.
Who kept apologizing, like, oh, like, sorry, like, just ignore him. He's not going to hurt you, whatever. And I thought it was like, it was a really fun experience.
Oh,
yeah.
She kept saying like, oh, when we get home, I'm going to punch him. I'm going to punch him definitely when we get home.
Oh yeah, it was hilarious. But also, if you remember the scene at the subway.
Oh, people were so angry. Everyone was so mad. I remember we saw some dude, like some dude was getting arrested by the cops because he got into a fight with someone.
Yeah, there was currently construction on the TPC subway. And, you know, we were filing into Union Station by the, at the time, the Air Canada Center, as any Toronto Beast fan knows very well. And there was construction at the time, and we were walking in one of the tunnels, and we see a guy lying there. You see another guy being detained by the cops, and then there's blood all over the place, and there's a shovel. And it seemed, and I, you know, I stopped, I tried to hear what was going on, because I'm nosy like that. And it seemed as, you know, they got angry, probably drunk, and the guy hit the other guy in the face with a shovel. And, you know, that's the kind of scene that you see when Leafs fans get upset and, you know, they've had a little bit too much to drink. That's why I, you know, I admire the ballsy move of wearing that jersey to that game, that one specific time.
I was happy to do it then, and I'm willing to do it now. I, you know, when we went back, I think 2 years ago. For the Bruins game, I was actually looking. I don't have a Boston Bruins jersey, but I was looking for someone who did have one because I was willing to wear a Boston Bruins jersey down to the game, but I couldn't find one. So I wore my Flames jersey instead because, you know, the Flames were still in the playoffs then, but that was also not pretty because they lost to Colorado, which they probably shouldn't have.
Yeah, that was a fun game. But yeah, no, you showed up to a Bruins Leafs playoffs game, Maple Leaf Square in a Bruins jersey. I'm honestly not so sure you would have made it out of there.
That year, actually, I had a fun streak going. Every time I went with you and like all of our other Leafs fans friends to watch a playoff game against the Bruins, every time I was there, the Bruins actually won. So I never watched the Leafs win in that series, and I was very happy about that.
So I think this means going forward, you just won't be invited anymore.
Don't worry, I will kind of force my way into that.
I'm not sure you'll have a choice, you know? This is the year, I'm telling you. You know?
Yeah, that's what they say every year.
Every year since 67. Yeah, oh, I mean... Listen, if I was putting money on it, I would not bet on the Leafs to win, but I feel it in my Leaf fan blood.
Uh-huh. If you're not willing to put money, then you don't actually believe in it.
I can't justify it, but I know it's true. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just before we wrap up, a couple things. I thought it was a really funny storyline in the NHL this week. You saw Dylan Larkin give Zach Werenski's parents, because the game was in.
Oh, Detroit. Yeah, this was super funny. He left tickets because Columbus was playing Detroit and Detroit's allowing fans, right?
Mm-hmm. At a certain capacity.
Yeah, and Zach Werenski's parents live in Detroit, but away team players aren't allowed to have tickets to home games. So, you know, a childhood friend, Dylan Larkin, left tickets for Zach Werenski's parents to come to the game.
And Zach Werenski's parents get to the game just to watch, you know, their kid and his friend beat the crap out of each other. You know, it's probably all fun and games. I've always wondered what goes through these guys' heads if, you know, they're fighting, because it doesn't really seem something to me that would be fun. You know, you're getting punched, you're punching someone else.
Especially, but, you know, like a childhood friend. Like, how can you, like, what makes you so angry you want to, like, punch them?
Right, yeah. Like, you know, they were laughing, though, so I can't tell you what they were thinking, man. I've got no clue. But, you know, that's just a funny story. Yeah. And before we wrap up, we just wanted to... So we got a DM from someone that listens to the podcast with asking us a question, something they wanted us to ask on the show this week. Out of all the North Division teams, who do you think will be the breakout player of the year? I thought about it for a little bit, and I personally think it will be Nick Suzuki on the Montreal Canadiens. He is a fantastically talented player. I mean, there's been highlights already this season. You know, he sent that Oilers player crashing into the boards with like a nasty toe drag.
Oh yeah, that was hilarious to watch.
Yeah, and you know, he played some fantastic hockey in the game against the Leafs. I haven't really caught much of the Habs games except for some highlights otherwise than that, but his numbers are good. He seems to be on a fantastic line with Josh Anderson at the moment, and he's young. The team's still young, they're growing, and I think he
Yeah.
will be a player to, you know, potentially hit maybe 50, 45, 50 points in this shortened season.
Especially because that Josh Anderson trade's looking to work out for Montreal.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, you know, that isn't even their best trade as of late. So I don't know if you knew this, but they got Phil Deneau and Alex Romanov in a trade where they gave away Dale Weiss and Thomas Fleischmann, who since the
I
trade have
actually
combined for 6 points
remember
in
this.
34 games. So you
When
know
was
the
that? What team was that to? Philadelphia?
I think so. I don't remember, but I think
Yeah.
so. But Weiss and Fleischmann, you know, could say haven't been pretty relevant in the NHL since then. Deneau has turned himself into a fantastic, you know, upper line center, and
Oh, definitely. He's a great two-way center.
Romanov just had his first goal, and he's definitely looking really good for this franchise. So that's
Yeah.
another fantastic, you know, positive note for the Montreal Canadiens.
For me, my breakout player in the North Division, obviously, there's no bias here.
Okay,
But
Flames.
I'm gonna have to go with my boy Dylan Dubé. You know, World Juniors, captain of Team Canada. He took them to a gold medal. He's looking really promising. And you know, last year, even in the playoffs, he was outstanding. Like him and Sam Bennett, like that line was great. I really think that he's gonna do some fantastic things this year. Even against Vancouver, the first game, he had that insane snipe on the power play. That was so fun to watch. Now that I'm thinking about this, there might be a little bit of bias with my answer,
Just a little
but
bit, maybe.
I'm telling you, Dylan Dubé, he's the guy to watch out for.
Yeah, you know, Dubé is good. I didn't know much about him until lately. As you said, he was on the World Junior team with Canada. But, you know, I watched a little bit of him. I watched the films from time to time, and he looks like a talented player. You know, I'm not sure if he's going to be necessarily as good as someone like Nick Suzuki might be, but you never know. You see
I think he's going
players.
to be better.
A
I'm
little
telling
bit of
you.
bias, but you know,
No, I think
you
he's
see
going
players,
far.
you know, breaking out of nowhere all the time, and you never know, maybe Dylan Dubé could be one of those players. It's, you know, there's lots to look forward to this year. We're really excited for the rest of the season. You know, big seasons are coming from the Leafs and the Flames, the rest of the league. We'll see what happens. Yeah, so it's been, you know, a great first couple games of the season. The hockey's been fantastic. You know, we're really looking forward to watching the rest of the season, talking about it with you guys. You know, we're only getting started, but things are gonna, you know, look up. Got some big seasons up ahead for the Leafs and the Flames and lots of other teams, some big names,
Can't
lots
wait
of
for
exciting
it.
storylines. It's gonna be fantastic.
Actually,
Yeah.
the next game that the Flames play is actually against Toronto.
You know, maybe we'll do a special episode for that, a game breakdown,
Maybe, yeah.
special bonus episode for those who care to listen to two random guys talk about a Leafs and a Flames game. But you
I
know,
know I'd listen to that.
I would also. But yeah, I mean, as you know, we appreciate all the listens. You know, if you're hearing it, tell some people that you know to check it out. You know, we're only growing from here. We have some big plans, as we said, some guests that are going to maybe help us out. And you know, follow our Instagram. It's the username is the_hockeyhut on Instagram. You know, we're just getting it started.
Yeah, definitely follow us. Stay up to date with all the Hockey Hut news.
Yeah,
Very exciting things.
we'll be posting NHL updates, hockey updates, some news, you know, some memes we might find funny, and we're hoping to, you know, build a little bit more of a presence online, and it'll be great. Thanks for listening. It's been great, and we'll see you next time.